We now go to Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, the laws of idolatry, Perek Chi, the ninth chapter, which is on Menhei Amud Beis in most standard Rambams. Halacha Aleph, Shloshi Yavim Lefnei Chagim Shel Avodas Kochavim, 3 days before the pagan idolatrous festivals. Also, Likach Meham Olim Kolahem Dover Miskayim. You're not allowed to purchase or sell something that's going to last. In other words, if the non-Jew buys something that is going to last and he's going to use it on his holiday for the purpose of his idolatrous worship, that's not allowed. If it's not going to last, then he'll have nothing then, so it's okay because it's not going to be there anyway by that time. Similarly, Lilvos Mehem Lalvosom. You're not allowed to borrow from them or to lend to them. Lifa Mehem Lalfrolahem. To accept payment from a loan or to pay them a loan. If it's a Milva Bishtar, if it's a loan that has a document that if they don't pay you, you still have the document and they'll pay you eventually. Or a Mashkin. Or if you have a security, you have a pledge, so you know they're going to pay you because otherwise you'll just take the security. If it's an oral agreement, then you can accept payment because it's like saving it from their hands. They may not want to pay you later and you have no proof. The idea behind all of these things is that he's going to be happy and thank his God, his idol, on the holiday for whether he got the money paid back or that he paid his debt already. In either case, you don't want him to go praising his idol. You're allowed to sell them something that does not last long. Like vegetables or food till the day of the holiday, because he's not going to have anything by the holiday to thank his God over. He bought some vegetables 2 days before, let's say, and they're gone. You don't have them left. The Medvar Mamurim, when did these laws apply to Israel and Israel? In other countries, it's forbidden only on the actual day of the pagan festival. If you transgressed this law, and you did do business with them in these 3 days, what you earned on those 3 days is permitted. You may have benefit from it. You were wrong in doing it, but we do not forbid the benefit at this point. But if it's actually on the day of their festival that he does business with them, then he may have no benefit from the profits. You're not allowed to send a gift to a non-Jew on the day of the pagan holiday. Unless you happen to know that this non-Jew does not believe in idols, Vena Ovda and doesn't serve it, then there's nothing wrong with sending a gift. A non-Jew who sent a gift to a Jew on his pagan holiday, you shouldn't accept it from him. He's afraid that the non-Jew will be angry if he doesn't accept his gift. He should take it in his presence. But he should have no benefit out of it. Unless he finds out that this non-Jew does not worship idols and does not believe in them, and then he can have benefit from it. But otherwise, he takes it but has no benefit out of it. Because the Mishnah asks a question which he doesn't have an answer for, that in the Gemara it comes out that if you accept it from an idolater, even if you don't have benefit from it, it's wrong because he thinks that you accepted it and he'll feel good about it. On the other hand, you don't want to antagonize him. So what the Gemara says is you should take it and then destroy it in a way that the non-Jew thinks it's an accident. So he doesn't get angry at you because he thinks it was destroyed accidentally. But neither is he happy that he gave you something on the day of his festival since it was destroyed. The Rambam doesn't say that, and the Kesef Mishnah remains with a question. Alacha Gimel. Hayedin Shalos Anachum Yomim Harbe, it was a many-day holiday. Shloshor, Bar, Asara, 3, 4, 10, Kolos V'yamim Ki Yom Echad Hein. All of those days are like one day. Kulon Asur, and they're all forbidden. In Gil Yom Lefneim, as well as 3 days before. Dalid, the text says Kananim, but it should read Notzrim, Christians. Ovdei Kum Hein, they're considered idolaters. They believe in another, they worship something other than the one God, and therefore they're considered idolaters. Rosh Hashanah Yom Adam, and Sunday is their holiday. Therefore, in Israel, you're not allowed to do business with them on every Thursday and Friday of every week. It goes without saying, not on Sunday, Atzmo. That's forbidden in any place. And the same would be true of any of their holidays. They are considered idolaters. Halacha Yud. Yom Shemiskansim Bo'avdikachav Mulam Elohim Melech. The day that the non-Jews get together to anoint a king, Makrivenu Makasam Elohim, and they bring sacrifices and praise their gods, Yom Chagamhu. That's considered a pagan holiday. Bereyu Kishachagim, and it's like their other holidays. Avalavikachav Shalosa Hu Chag La'atzmo. Umodu L'kochav Shalo, a non-Jew is making a private festival and thanking his star, or his god, Makalso, and praising him, when Biyom Shinolabo, on his birthday, or Biyom Teglacha Zikno, the day in which he shaves his beard, a special holiday, Oblu Riso, or they had their hair dialed in a hair styled in a certain way, and it was cut in a certain special way, this is part of the pagan customs and practices, or Biyom Shalabo Minayam, or a day that he came back from a journey from the sea, Ushiyotzim Beis Vasurim, or was released from prison, Yom Shosabo Mishtal of No, or a day that he's making a party for his son. Kyotzebelo, all of these other things, and also Yom Vosu Ishbovad. That's forbidden only on that day and for that person who's making the private affair. It wouldn't apply to his servants and so on. Yom Shomus Lahem Bomeis Yaseo Chag, Osamosam Asurim Oso Yom. Similarly, sometimes when a certain person dies, they make a holiday on that day, and only those who make that holiday. Only for them is it forbidden, to them is it forbidden to do business. Many death, which their custom was to burn clothing and to offer incense, that was a sign. You could be sure that idolatry was involved. The days of their holidays are forbidden only for those who actually serve that particular god on that day. Those who rejoice and who eat and drink and keep it out of a custom, Ovnei Kavod HaMelech, or just out of respect to the king, they don't really believe in it. You can do business with them. In other words, those who take it just as a social affair rather than as a religious one, you can do business with them. Ravitz says, the Ravitz holds that the birthday of a king is considered like any of their other holidays, v'yishlem panim. This, I think, although the words are not so clear to me, I think the Ravid means that it's forbidden beforehand as well. So he learns the Gemara that way. The Rambam doesn't bring down anything special about the birthday of a king, but that's how the Ravid learns pshat in the Gemara. Avayom teglach hazikno bli riso v'chein kulan atzof, the days of cutting his beard or his hairdo and all of the other ones. That's forbidden only for that day. The servants are not forbidden unless they actually serve their god too. Even Kalanda and Santaria, which are the great Roman pagan festivals, it's only those who actually worship it. Whenever it says only that person, it's to exclude his servants. But Kulukai, and that's referring to all of the holidays mentioned here. Halacha Vav. Dvar Shem Yuchadim Lamin Mimine Vodas Kechavim Shabbos HaMakom. A type of thing which is used specifically for the idols in that particular place. Asa Limkala Ovdei Osa Vodas Kechavim. You're not allowed to sell to the servants of that idol. Shabbos HaMakom, who live in that place, Lalam, anytime. If the thing is not specifically used for them, then you can sell it to them plain, as long as it's not specified that it's for the idol. If the idolater said explicitly that he's purchasing this item for the idol, it's forbidden to sell it to him. Unless the Jew disqualifies it so that it can't be brought for an idol. Because you do not, you don't want to cause anything to be offered up as an offering to an idol. If there was a mixture of things used specifically for the idol and things not used, for example, a pure frankincense mixed in with a black variety of frankincense, mokar kol stam, he can sell all of it plain. And choshishim, we're not afraid. Maybe the non-Jew will pick out the pure frankincense to use for his idol. And the same law would be for any similar case. Just as you're not supposed to sell to a non-Jew something that strengthens their hands for idolatry, so you're not supposed to sell them something that is dangerous to the public. Kigon, dubim varayos, like bears, lions, uklizayin, weapons, ukavalim, ushalshalos, different chains and leg irons. In mashchizid nehem esazayin, you don't even sharpen their weapons for them. Choshos l'machulav ukechav, masam machul Yisrael achashivim kalav ukechav. Anything that you're not allowed to sell to a non-Jew, you're not allowed to sell to a Jew who you suspect of selling it to the idolaters. Similarly, you're not allowed to sell weapons to a Jew who is a robber. You can't sell weapons if they're going to bring death and destruction. If the Jews were living among the idolaters and they made a covenant together, then you can sell weapons to the servants of the king and his army, because they're making war with these weapons against the enemies of the country to save it from its enemies. Therefore, since we are living together with them and have a treaty with them, they are protecting us as well, since we're living in their midst. So in that case, you can sell them the weapons since they're using it for protection. A city that has an idol in it, you're allowed to go outside of it, but not allowed to go inside it. If there was an idol outside of it, you're allowed to go in it, but not outside. Right, it says, the Tosef explains this is talking about a market day, when you're not allowed to go into the city. And you're not supposed to do business then. Even to go there without doing business is forbidden on the actual day of the festival, because people will suspect that you're doing business. Presumably the Rambam agrees with this. The Ravid is just explaining it. He's not arguing that we're not saying you can't walk into a city if there's idols there. We're referring to on the day of their festival you shouldn't walk in because people will suspect you of doing business with them, and you shouldn't go to do business with them in general when they have their fair, which has idolatrous connotations. If you're going from place to place, you're not even supposed to pass through a city that has idols in it, as we mentioned before. This applies if that's a path that goes specifically to that place. If there's another way to travel, and you happen to go on this path, then it's permitted. In other words, if this road takes you only into that idolatrous city, you're not allowed to go there. But if there's another way to get to the idolatrous city, and this is just one of the roads, people will not necessarily suspect you of going specifically to the idolatrous city, which in fact you're not doing. You're planning just to go beyond that. Therefore, it's permitted. The Ravid says, "Ein vav mishavim klal." The Rama's words are not correct. "Shemholcha misham lamakam acher." If you're going from there to another place, "Mutal avim mitochal lamakam acher lechatchila." You can go to another place in the first place. Shein kan chasha, there is no suspicion. He's criticizing the Rambam's use of the word "if it happened," which seems to imply that if he happened to go there, it's all right, but that you really shouldn't go there lechatchila in the first place. Because the Mishnah says that the Rambam, in fact, does not necessarily argue when he says he happened to go there. He doesn't mean that you can't go there in the first place if you want to. You're not supposed to work to build together with a non-Jew a dome that they put idols in. If he transgressed and built it, his payment, his salary is permitted. But he can build in the first place the house or the courtyard in which this dome was found, because those houses or the courtyard itself is not actually used for idolatry. A city that has idol in it, you had these decorated markets, decorated in a certain way for the idols. In some markets, not decorated. You're not supposed to have any benefit from the decorated ones. On anything that's in there. Because you can be sure that they were decorated for the sake of the idol. No, those that are not decorated, you may have benefit from. You're not allowed to rent the stores that belong to the idol, to the temple of the idol, because you're giving benefit to the idol. If you sell your house to an idol, the money is prohibited, and you can't have any benefit from it. You have to throw the money into the Dead Sea. You destroy the money, in other words. The Kesemish explains that the Rambam means not that you're selling it to a non-Jew who may or may not worship the idols, referring to actually selling it to the church where the idols are going to be worshipped. If non-Jews coerced a Jew, stole his house, and set up an idol there, and they paid him, the money is permitted. Because of Malabar Koshalim, you can write this up in their courts to have a record, so that the money is yours. Ravitz says, if they gave him the money before they served the idol, it's permitted. Because the Mishnah explains that the Ravitz means to say that even if it was sold for the purpose of idolatry, if in fact first they gave him money before they worshipped the idols, then at that time, since the idols were not yet being worshipped, the money would be permitted. Whereas if first they started worshipping the idols and then they pay him the money, then it's the money of idolatry and it's absolutely forbidden. Halacha Yudalid. Chalilin shalavdi kachavim also listed behind the flutes that were used by the idolaters. You're not allowed to use them for a dirging and lamenting at a funeral. They used to use these flutes. Hochon Yerichel Avodas Kachavim, you can go down to the market of the idolaters. Lokum Mehem, and you can buy from them behema, animals, avodim, ushvachos, man and maid servants, bigayusan who are not Jewish. Ubatim Mesadus Ukramim, houses, fields, vineyards. The coast of Malabar Koshalem, you can write this up in their courts for a record. And they should come out from Yom, you're saving these things from their hands. Medva Mamurim, when is this applied? Belokech Mibalabayas. She'eino Nosim Meches. If you're buying it from a private person who doesn't give this tax to the idol. Belokech Shaman Atagar, if you're buying from a merchant, Aser, it's forbidden. Mepnesh Nosim Meches, because he gives a tax. Meches Avodas Kechavim, the tax goes to the idol. Limtze Mahana Avodas Kechavim, so therefore you are benefiting the idol. If you transgress this law and you bought from the merchant, in the hema, if you bought an animal, you cut off the hoof from the knee down. In other words, you destroy the animal. It shouldn't be useful to you. If you buy clothing or other vessels, let them rot. If he bought money or metal things that aren't going to rot, throw them into the Dead Sea. If you bought a servant, you don't kill him and you don't save him. The Gemara explains there. The Gemara asks, if you bought a slave, do you kill him? And the Gemara answers that the law is that an idolater, you're not allowed to save him, but neither are you allowed to kill him. So what the Rambam means here is that if you bought the slave, you can't do anything to him. Tezvav. If a idolater made a party for his son or daughter, you're not allowed to have benefit from his meal. Even if the Jew is going to eat and drink his own food there, Sham. Aser, it's forbidden, since it's eaten in a gathering of idolaters, or of idolatry. From what point on is it considered the celebration time that he can eat by him? From the time that he starts preparing the needs of the meal. And all of the days of the festival. And then 30 days after the party. So when he starts, and the days of the party, and 30 days afterwards. If he made another meal, especially because of the wedding, even if it's after 30 days, it's forbidden, till 12 months. All of this distance that we have to keep ourselves is because of the worship of idols. Shemar that says, "Ukar lecha, he will call you. Vachalfim mizivcha, you'll eat of his sacrifice. Lakaftim mibnosav levanecha, you'll marry his daughters. You'll take his daughters for your son. Vizanu v'gomer, they will turn after the idols." Halacha de Zayin by Shishal otenik es benosha levodos kachavim. A Jewish woman is not supposed to be the wet nurse to nurse the child of an idolater. Mipneishem agedelas ben avodos kachavim. She's raising up a child to worship idols. She shouldn't be a midwife for a non-Jewish idolatress, but she can be a midwife if she's getting paid, because otherwise the idolater will hate the Jews who refuse to do this work for them. A non-Jewish woman who is an idolatress may be the midwife for a Jewish woman and may be the wet nurse for the child. Bishusa, with her permission, in other words, with her in her presence, Kadesh lo taigenu, to make sure that the midwife or the wet nurse doesn't kill the child. You have to observe them very carefully because the idolaters would possibly have murder in mind. Halachi Yud Zayin. Halachon tarfus akum. If someone is going to the tarfus means the shame of the idol. In other words, he's going to a pilgrimage to a certain idol. Also, velosis imahen, you're not supposed to do business with them. Vabam, once they return from the idol, mutarim, it's allowed. Vushla yik shum zebezeh. That's provided that they're not tied to one another. In other words, it isn't a group of people. Shema yik shum, if there's a whole group, shema dait alachzer. It's more likely that they're going to want to go back, and then you're doing business with them, and they're going to go to the idol and thank the idol for their business. Yisrael al-Khatar Fasakum, if a Jew is on his way to the idol, Balicha on his way, Mutalasis Velasasimo, you can do business with him. Shemiyasabo, perhaps he'll change his mind. Bechazira, if he went there already and he's returned, Aser, it's forbidden, because once he's involved in it, you're afraid that he's going to go back again, and you can't do business with him even on his way back. Yisrael Mumar, Bein Balicha, Bein Bechazara Aser. A Jew who is a Mumar, who is an apostate, who worships idols, it's forbidden both when he goes there, because he's going to worship the idols there, and when he returns, because we assume that he's going to go back again afterwards. Halacha Yudches, Yisrael Shehalach LeYarid Shalakum. If a Jew went to a marketplace of the idolaters, B'chazira Aser Losas V'Losasimo. When he returns, you're not supposed to do business with him. Shema'akum Machalahem Sham. Perhaps he sold them an idol. But Me'akum B'Yad Yisrael Aser Bana, and the money that he got from the idol that a Jew is holding, you're not allowed to have benefit from it. B'Yad Akum, in the hands of a non-Jew, Mutar Bahana, you are allowed to have benefit from it. Nezeh, for this reason, Nosim V'Nosin Im'akum Habam in Atar V'Shalakum. This is the reason that you can do business with the non-Jew who came back from the idol. And for this reason, you don't do business with a Jew who came back from the idol. Ahu. Nor with a, as mentioned before, with an apostate Israel, an apostate Jew. Neither when he's going or when he's returning. Now, before I mention the reason that the Jew is going to go back, and that's another reason why you can't deal with the Jew even on his way back, that reason the Gemara states. Because the Mishnah says that the reason the Rambam doesn't bring that reason is because the reason that he gives is adequate. Even if he's not going to go back, there is fear that he sold an idol, and this is idolatrous money, and for that reason you can't do any business with.